Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to the Western Conference Finals.
It's madness! Just madness!
And for the first time in 3 years, the Golden State Warriors are going back to the Western Conference Finals.
Curry gets open. Beautiful dribble. Shed Doncic and nails a three.
It starts now.
The Mays team is the best team. The Golden State Warriors have won the NBA title.
This is Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
The moment we've been waiting for. It's officially here. Well, it'll officially be here in about 90 minutes from right now. Game one of the Western Conference Finals. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto with you here on Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors handled business against Memphis in six games, and the Dallas Mavericks won a still hard-to-comprehend seventh game in Phoenix that just... Still trying to figure out how that all happened, how the Suns rolled over and died like they did. But as soon as the sun set on that season, it gave the Warriors home court advantage here against the Dallas Mavericks. And Chase Center tonight is going to be, as the kids say, lit. It feels good in there. It sounds good in there. And hopefully tonight the Warriors will look good in there to establish a game one holding court win against the Dallas Mavericks team, which is going to be looking to steal one of these two. That's the formula. Holding serve, Ray. It's not paramount, but it's a real good way to start a series. Let's see if the Warriors can get the first leg tonight.
Yeah, even if they don't win tonight, if they get a split, it still means they have to force a split in Dallas. And I think the one advantage the Warriors have is that they have more guys who can wear on the Mavs than the Mavs have on them. And I think in a series of attrition, they have a bit of a leg up. I mean, Dallas, you know, say what you will, you know, is playing at closer to its max than the Warriors have been. And so if there is another gear to be had, you'll see it in gold and blue, more than you'll see it in, well, blue, gray, green, and whatever the hell else they're wearing this series.
There's a little lime green that they throw at you sometimes. It gets funky.
It looks like a box of crayons melted, but the players inside the uniforms are pretty good. But I just think if this is going to be a series of attrition, the Warriors have a slight leg up. They will have to fail considerably to lose this series, I think.
Mavericks are the best three-point shooting team left in the postseason. 38.5%. The Warriors, 37.7%. Who defends the perimeter the best and who hits the open three? Again, I don't want to just reduce this to a shooting contest, but it's a make-or-miss league, and this is a huge make-or-miss Western Conference Finals. And if the Warriors get sloppy and are allowing just too many open shots that all of a sudden you're now watching role players get comfortable knocking down, that's when Luka drags you out into the deep end of the pool and starts alligator rolling you. So hopefully the Warriors avoid that with a good start. We haven't really seen them start well in the last couple of weeks. A very good start pretty much is
where Game 7's upset of Phoenix began. Luka came out and had 12 points, I think, in the first 4 minutes of that game. He was just flying to just end that game early, and he did it. He really did it. And now here they are, the single best player on the court. It's probably Luka Doncic. The single best team, we know who that is. And the Warriors have a team concept that is going to make this one of the ultimate styles make fight matchups. They play two totally different ways. Totally different ways. And someone on the Xfinity mobile text line, I think, nails it right, saying, you know, the Mavs might have the best player, but the Warriors have the second, third, and fourth, maybe even the fifth best player in this series. And that is a level of depth that, you know, Steve Kerr is going to be counting on. I don't think this is one of those strangle your bench at the eighth man. I think Steve is going to be looking to run fresh legs, and you might get a Juan Toscano-Anderson. You might get Damian Lee. You might get a Moses Moody. You're certainly going to get Otto Porter, an awful lot of Otto Porter, because I believe he is available tonight.
Well, and he's a guy that they have come to need, you know, to do, well, what they basically is grunt work. You know, make the odd shot, but mostly, you know, get a rebound, keep a rebound alive, you know, get in the way, play defense, do the things that, frankly, a lot of guys don't do, but at this level, somebody has to. And the Warriors have at least a couple of those. You know, Andrew Wiggins is surely one of them, Kevon Looney. But Porter is the guy who, in the absence of Gary Payton, he's probably going to have to play, you know, high 20s in minutes and deliver.
Steve Kerr joined us yesterday. We're going to have a little Kerr replay for you at 5 o'clock. Hey, he's back in the mix, right? I mean, you want to talk about who's back? The head coach is back after a bout with COVID kept him out of the last half of that Memphis series. It's good to have Kerr back out there. Continuity is a good thing. Kerr was actually talking about the continuity of the Dallas roster and why Jason Kidd has found some success this year.
Crucial in Dallas's growth and development is the continuity that they have on the roster. These guys know each other really well. It's such an underrated dynamic in today's league. There's so much movement. So many teams are adding new guys, subtracting other guys. But you look at Dallas and you look at, in particular, you know, Finney Smith, Kleba, Luka, Brunson. You know, I know Hardaway's hurt, but he's been there a while. Like that really matters. And so when a new coach comes in and is able to take a group that's already been together, because I had the same situation here. You know, I inherited a team that had great continuity. It's much easier to implement changes because the group already knows each other really well.
This is Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity Internet. Better streaming with our Flex 4K device, voice remote, Peacock Premium, all at no extra cost and no strings attached. Ray, if continuity is key, I mean, there's no one who's got more of it than the Golden State Warriors. This is team continuity now that they've got pretty much everyone together. And a huge part of that, it's not just that backcourt. It's now the front court, which you have to say, Andrew Wiggins has officially become, if I can borrow from Jim Harbaugh here for a moment, a trusted agent. He is a totally trusted agent. He might be the easiest guy who's, you know, no real surprises from Andrew Wiggins. He's going to give you about 17 points, 10, 12 rebounds. And in the playoffs, those are two really big numbers to count on. His front court mate, Kevon Looney, I mean, that is a level of continuity that I don't think anyone started to appreciate until he just did what he did in his last game, where Kevon Looney is as big of a part of the reason the Warriors are here as any Golden State Warrior, even though it's always a collective, not an individual effort. Looney, 49 rebounds, 16 of them on the offensive glass in the last series, and he is going to be battling a much different animal this time around with the Dallas Mavericks bigs.
A different set of challenges, you know. Now, Dwight Powell isn't the biggest big man, but he's an athletic roller. He's really physical. He's a great offensive rebounder, and the way Dallas uses him and Kleber, the way they're used is not like it's different from the last few series that we played in. So it makes for, as a big, makes it a little bit difficult, just the rotations. You might be playing out on the wing a lot more or the top of the key instead of being on the block. So your defensive rotations are different. It's probably going to be a lot more switching. So the matchups get a little funky. So it's just a different type of game when you're playing against bigs like that.
You know what the rebounding battle will be tonight? It'll be facing a balanced rebounding team. Guess who, Ray, is the Dallas Mavericks' second leading rebounder? Not in the postseason, but in the regular season, in terms of rebounds per game.
I'm going to guess it's Doncic.
He's number one. Who's number two?
Oh, okay. Well, then
it's a trick question. Kristaps Porzingis is still this team's second leading rebounder in terms of rebounds per game. They've got balance when it comes to rebounding the ball. Their half-court approach, they got four guys who are crashing glass because they're just a half-court team. And they not only play well for the rebound, they play rebounding spots. Like, they know where the rebound is kind of going to go. And they set themselves up for those long missed three rebounds because the Mavericks have a lot of those.
Well, that's sort of like the way the Warriors operate.
Boxing
because
out.
They don't have, yeah, they're better at chasing down rebounds than they are at muscling to get them.
The team that boxes out the best tonight could win this game.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's not only boxing out, it's being able to know where a shot's going to go. Like, one of the reasons why Curry's rebound numbers are so high is because he chases down his own stuff a lot. He knows where the ball's going quicker than anybody else does. So in that way, yeah, both these teams are similar in that, you know, they will, you know, they do not look like they should be able to rebound, but they rebound with dogged persistence.
Yeah, Mavericks got a bunch of dudes who get 4, 5, 6 rebounds a game. You know, Kleber, Powell, Finney Smith, Brunson, they're all going to get about 4 or 5 rebounds tonight. So box out, throw fannies into hips, and get that loose ball. Get the one bounce rebound. The one bounce rebound? Oh, that's a good rebound to get. It's Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity Internet. Better streaming with our Flex 4K device, voice remote, Peacock Premium, all at no extra cost and no strings attached. We got ourselves a big one coming up tonight. Obviously, you know, we looked at what happened last night as the Eastern Conference Finals opened up. When you win game one on your own home court, it just sets up everything you could want in game two. You know, can you hold serve? Can you really turn this into the, you know, it's not much of a series until somebody wins on their home court or on the away court. And so you don't want a series in the first two games. You don't. Dallas is going to be a buzzsaw, by the way. When this series moves to Dallas, it's going to be nuts in there. This is the first time they've been playing for this level of basketball since 2011 in Dallas. So that place is going to be going nuts. And the Warriors, the one thing that defines them throughout this entire run is they always win a road game. In all of their series, they win a road game. So, I mean, if you start talking about holding serve at home and you're the team that gets a split over the next two in Dallas, you could be closing out in game five. You could seriously be closing out in game five. I think it's Warriors in six. That sounds a little bit more digestible, just with all due respect that you have to throw Luka Doncic's way, and he's ready for the buzzsaw waiting for him tonight at Chase Center.
I mean, it's a loud gym. I ain't going to lie. You know, I think this one in Utah, honestly, are two of the loudest gyms in the league. But, you know, the crowd always, it's sometimes even better to play away games for me. You know, when you score the basket, everybody's quiet. You know, everybody's booing, and then everybody's quiet. But about cry, you know, I played in Europe, I played in Greece, I played in Serbia, I played in Turkey, and that's another level of crowd. So it's loud. You can't hear the guy next to you. So that's a tough place to play.
I love that.
basically saying, like, look, I played in gyms where angry crowds throw light, you know, lit flares on the court and at players. So, you know, a little noise in the NBA doesn't rattle me the way it might rattle some other NBA players. He has gone through a level of development that just, as we were saying yesterday, Ray, he arrived to the NBA as a near fully formed player at the age of 19.
Yeah, he got some hair on him because there's nothing quite like, well, most European crowds, but yeah, the Turks are particularly, they do love their flares. But Italian crowds are difficult. Spanish crowds are difficult. Basically all along the Mediterranean, you know, Greek crowds are profoundly difficult. And he went through all of that. Nothing's going to faze him. And the kind of games he has are going to be entirely dependent on no outside forces. He's either going to perform very well or not. And it's going to be largely on him because you don't stop him, but he can have an odd stinker. And that's on nights when, well, I'm throwing out the ones where he wasn't in shape, but he can have the, you know, the 5 for 17 shooting night, you know, cause everybody has. So you know, if the key is beating Luka, the first weapon is Luka.
You're right. It's time to talk about who's cooking on the Golden State Warriors, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Klay Thompson, coming off that Game 6, come on. You know, he's got to be our guy once again. He scored a team-high 30 on 11 of 22 shooting, 8 of 14 from 3. And look, you know, Memphis did a hell of a job keeping themselves in a game that Klay could have shot them out of early. That's why Memphis was probably closer to hosting Game 7 than the Warriors were to Game 1 after the end of that third quarter. Because as good as the Warriors were from distance, Memphis was right still in that game. When they pulled away is when the rebounds became an unsurmountable force. And the Warriors had an insurmountable amount of rebounds. They grabbed 70 in that game. 70 rebounds. Klay Thompson had 8 of them. So if that Klay Thompson, if what we all call Game 6 Klay Thompson, can show up in Games 1 or 2, that's how you go 2-0. Starts with just 1-0. But Klay playing well, Steph playing well, it's really hard to beat. Draymond Green, we know that you are a guy. When you show up and you play well, you turn the Warriors into the Incredible Hulk. And now we get to Jordan Poole. And if he plays well too, now everything is going right and very, very well for the Warriors. And it is who you're going to see in the NBA Finals. It's a make or miss league. The Warriors make their shots, Ray. They're going through. It's just that simple.
Well, I mean, essentially what you're saying is the Warriors play really well, they'll win, which, you know, that's clear. But I think the trick to understanding this series is not in what happens if they all do well. It's what happens when a couple of them don't. Because that's sort of what we've seen so far in the two series that they've already played, which is you can't bank on all four of them going. You know, somebody's going to have an off night.
That's the overwhelming night. That's how you put up 142.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and that's, you know, that's the difficult math of playing the Warriors is that to beat them, especially at home, you've got to stop three of the four. And when I say stop, I don't mean just scoring wise. I mean, make it harder for Draymond Green to be the difference maker that he usually is. You know, making sure that Klay Thompson is not dynamic defensively, you know, making sure that Andrew Wiggins doesn't get a bunch of shots off. You know, I mean, you know, Dallas can win if Curry's the only one who goes off. Dallas can win.
You mean if Curry is alone in it?
Yeah, or if it's just Curry and one other person. But if they get three of the four going, then I think that the math for Dallas becomes too daunting.
Yeah, that's when the team beats the player. That's when it's that's when a team sport matters once again. and this is the ultimate team sport. The Warriors are the ultimate ensemble in this team sport, and that's what makes the national pundits who come in to comment on what the Warriors are or aren't just so misguided so often. So many times they're talking about, well, do you think Steph Curry, just like Michael Jordan, could get his own shot off at the end of a Game 7 if he really had to? Probably not. But that's not the way the Warriors play, so it's not even a scenario you're going to run into. Like, Kerr will not be calling for Steph ISO in a moment of truth. He's going to run the system. And by the way, Klay Thompson, that's who's cooking, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today to see a full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Jordan Poole, when I talk about him playing well, obviously you start thinking about his offensive acumen, because his defensive acumen isn't nearly what he does offensively. His ability to withstand the hunt, and it's coming for him. It's absolutely coming for him. Jason Kidd has been grinding tape, I'm sure, and just thinking about all the different ways he can involve either Curry or Poole as the screener in pick and rolls for Luka Doncic. That's how they got past the Suns. That's what they just did to Chris Paul. And we, text line says, Nick Wright is talking crazy about the Warriors. I mean, of course he is.
So?
It's the playoffs once again. So that's what Nick does. For a guy who really does understand basketball, it's amazing how much he's completely missed the biggest and best basketball story he'll ever have to tell in his lifetime, and for as far as teams go.
Well, everybody's got to eat.
And he eats well. Don't worry about him. But as I was saying before we even got into Warriors Live, Ray, I've not heard an awful lot of the Warriors are wasting Steph Curry's prime. I have not heard that segment in a real long time.
Well, I mean, in fairness, though, everybody is a creature of the moment. And because of that, what the Warriors gave people this year was a glorious start, a horrendous middle, a problematic end, and then two playoff series in which they pressed their advantage and survived. So I get why people don't fully understand this team, because by the time a lot of people figured out, man, they're really good, they had already left that really good stretch and they started to struggle. And then they decided, oh, they're a bunch of strugglers, at a time when all of a sudden they got Thompson and Green back and then things were okay again. So they've always been sort of a step ahead of analysis. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're as fascinating as they are, is because you can't guarantee what you're getting from them on a night-to-night basis. They're gonna win 60% of their games, which is all you have to do in a seven-game series. But you never know which 60% that you're going to get. You know, a team that can lose by 39 after winning by 30 and then closing out by winning by 14 is by definition a confusing team. And that's what they are. More than anything else, they're a confusing team.
The consistency is in the construction of the roster and the core pieces, not in the way those core pieces perform game in, game out. So all the experience in the world is what Steve Kerr is going to be leaning on throughout this series when you look at the amount of experience the Warriors have in comparison to the experience that the Dallas Mavericks have. Well, it's not even close.
We're feeling confident. Our guys have been in this position many times, our core guys. I think where it shows is down the stretch, like against Memphis in game six. Our guys have guts. You know, they're not afraid of anything. And that's where our experience helps us. So it's good to be able to lean on that, but it's also not a solution for anything. You know, we've got to do this with this particular team. This is a different version of the Warriors than the team that made the finals 5 years in a row. So it's kind of new territory for some of our guys, but exciting for us to be here as a group.
So real quick update. The Warriors are not wasting Steph Curry's prime. They went to five NBA finals in a row in Steph Curry's prime. This is now Steph trying to recapture the magic of his prime. And all of those, man, they're letting the best years of his career just evaporate takes. I mean, I guess those segments need to be shipped off to Old Takes Exposed, to be honest with you, which at this point must look like the warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. The amount of wrong people have been about the Golden State Warriors. It's significant.
Well, the Warriors have given them a bunch of false leads this year. True. I mean, I'm not trying to defend the hot take artists because...
Love them. You love them. You wake up every morning and you watch.
I literally don't.
You love it.
No, but because they have to react to the last thing they saw, the Warriors gave them a bunch of false leads during the year. When they were 18-2, people couldn't rave about them enough. Then, you know, they started to fall off, and then their defense cratered. And then they looked like a team that was going to, you know, maybe they'd be lucky to finish seventh. You know, so that's what they reacted to. It's just, they're not good barometers, is the point. I mean, anybody can follow a team that can run the table, which the Warriors did plenty in the last decade.
Right.
But this is not one of those teams. And so
73-win team looked pretty good the whole way through, yeah. You know.
And, well, the 267s did too.
So, look, we got to come on back with Steve Kerr, who we got to talk to earlier this week. It was a great conversation. Good to have him back in the mix after a bout with COVID. And that's how we roll along here on Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Warriors Live. 95.7 The Game, presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, back to Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity on 95.7 The Game.
At 5:30, Tim Roy and Network Pregame begins from Chase Center. Coming up just after 6 o'clock, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Warriors hosting the Dallas Mavericks. We'll give you the injury report here and now because nothing is expected to change. Our injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. For the Dallas Mavericks, nothing has changed. The only name on the injury report is Tim Hardaway Jr., and his name's been there since January 25th when he fractured his foot. So nothing is going to change, including Tim Hardaway Jr. joining this series or the next round, should that's the way the cookie crumble. No crumbling cookies tonight for Otto Porter Jr. He will play tonight. He missed game 6 of the Memphis series with a right foot soreness. I almost called it a sprain. It was just sore, no longer sore. Otto Porter Jr. back tonight. Gary Payton II, unfortunately, his left elbow fracture renders him out. We know that. Andre Iguodala is out tonight, but may be reevaluated tomorrow, and we'll learn more about his availability for Friday night, but it looks like it's trending in his direction of rejoining the Warriors in this round. Hopefully that's the way it goes. So, I'm very happy to let you know that also back from his time on the injury report is Steve Kerr. He joined Ray and I earlier this week for a great conversation, which we, of course, started by welcoming him back after his bout with COVID-19 and asking him how he was feeling.
Thank you, Damon. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Fortunately, did not have a severe case, and the symptoms were pretty light, but just had to clear protocol and did so yesterday, so it's good to be back.
Well, that's great. What was harder on you, the virus or Game 5?
Well, I liked Game 6, but Game 5 definitely was a tough one to deal with, but it's a 7-game series for a reason, and we took care of our business. We got it done, so I'm really proud of the guys.
I know that your wife tweeted about never wanting to watch an NBA game with you at home again, but it must have been even harder on you, all things considered. The levels of hell that you must be going through as you're watching a Warriors playoff game. I mean, if you had less hair today because you pulled some out, I wouldn't blame you at all. That, even though you've been through this before, I don't think you can be prepared for that.
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough, you know, especially in the middle of such a fight. You know, it happened when we were up 2-1, knowing how good Memphis is, knowing that we were going to have to be on top of our game to beat them. And then for it to happen literally 2 hours before the game, you know, I was feeling some symptoms. I didn't feel right, and I knew I had to test because if I had gotten the players sick, that would have been a complete disaster. And so to find out just before the game was going to start was kind of bizarre. But like I said, it all worked out and ready to go for the next series.
70 rebounds, 22 from Kevon Looney, 11 offensively. The front court alone of Looney, Green, and Wiggins grabbed 48 rebounds. And the reason why this team wasn't on an airplane going to Memphis for Game 7, look, with all due respect to Game 6 Clay, and there's something special there, and we'll talk about it, but it was the greatest game Kevon Looney's played since whatever game got him a full scholarship to UCLA. I don't know. Like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, so was Wiggins. You know, his defense on Tyus Jones was great. He hit huge shots in the fourth quarter when we were struggling. You mentioned the rebounding, the 11 boards. I thought Wiggs and Loon were just massive in that game. And, you know, that's what it takes in the playoffs. Your stars have to play like stars, which ours did. You know, Steph, Clay, and Draymond all came up huge. But generally speaking, you know, it's always, especially as you get deeper in the playoffs and the competition's so good, it always comes down to, you know, do you get a couple of wild cards? You know, Dallas gets 25 from Spencer Dinwiddie in Game 7. You know, like that, that's kind of what has to happen for for one team to win. They just have to, they got to play well, and they got to get some contributions, some really great contributions from, you know, people other than their stars.
It's probably time to start asking misleading, granular questions about the series coming up. So let me start with this.
Yeah.
Does the fact that Dallas plays at least a slightly slower pace than you guys do generally, does that become a real issue in the series? Or is that just a number that really has no meaning once the ball goes up?
Well, I think it matters. I think an adjustment that Jason Kidd made with the team this year when he took over they slowed their pace down. I believe they were 30th in the league in pace. And,
yes.
You know, Luka is a very methodical player. Does remind me a little bit of Houston and the Harden teams from a few years ago that we used to face routinely in the playoffs. You know, shooting at every spot and, you know, dominant one-on-one player and, you know, maybe not the fastest tempo around. So I think they have found a really good sweet spot where they're able to improve their defense, not only through schemes and individual versatility defensively, but by controlling the pace as well. So they've found a really good formula.
How much harder is it to make a team that wants to play slow play fast than it is to make a team that wants to play fast play slow?
Yeah, it is difficult, especially when you get a guy like, you know, that ball dominant and that that much in control of the game. You know, he doesn't get rattled very easily. So, you know, again, there's a reason they were 30th in pace. It was relatively easy for them to control that and to keep the game at the pace of their liking. And so they, you know, it's not an easy thing to do to speed a team up.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game, and you're going to be handling Luka, obviously. How many coaching red flags just start popping up for you as you watch tape on him? Because if we just wanted to concentrate on what he did to Phoenix alone, he outscored their fourth-place MVP vote-getter in Devin Booker. He out-rebounded their seven-footer in DeAndre Ayton. He out-assisted one of the best point guards of all time. And he had more steals than the Defensive Player of the Year runner-up. So he feels about as well-built a young player as maybe the league has seen since LeBron's fourth year, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he's however you want to slice it, he's amazing. He's really, really something. So he's unique, and they've built their team around him. But, you know, that shouldn't take away from the fact that they've got a really good supporting cast, and the team the roster fits really well together. You know, a bunch of three-point shooters. They've got secondary playmakers with Dinwiddie and Brunson. They got a good vibe. You can just tell. They've got a good spirit about them. You know, that's why they're where they are right now.
We were just talking with Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN, who's covering this series going forward and was watching you guys against the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, when we were talking about how you defend Luka with him, the very first thing he said is if he had found the Ark of the Covenant was you never blitz Luka. You don't want to run two guys at him because he can see over everything and he can just pass out of problems because he's that skilled of a passer. Is there truth to that?
I wouldn't say never. I mean, I think that's pretty strong. I think you got to mix up coverages against him. He's too good to just give the same look to over and over again. So I wouldn't rule out, you know, blitzing, that kind of stuff. It's you just have to go in knowing that there's no, like, one formula that where you're going to say, oh, aha, we got it. You know, this is a series where we're going to have to adapt and adjust game to game, even quarter to quarter. And, you know, he's that good.
Without getting into any details, do you have to do more things that are different against him than you did against Nikola Jokic? I mean, I know they're different players, but is it harder to come up with enough things to throw at Doncic than it was at Jokic?
I think they're actually really similar. You know, they can beat you in so many different ways. Biggest difference is that Doncic has the ball in his hands from the beginning of the possession, whereas Jokic, it was more, you know, he would get the ball eventually, you know, in the pocket out of pick and roll or, you know, whatever it was they ran. But it's very similar in that, you know, they can just beat you a bunch of different ways and you've got to be creative and you've got to be flexible.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. So we saw Klay do it again in game six. He's been extraordinary and he's still not as good as he can be. And it's obvious that Steph Curry, who's had a fine year, is still not shooting it as well as he could. And I'm looking at this, and you talked about how important it is to be dominant at the three-point line to the point where if you are, teams turn into almost unbeatable entities. In a weird way, is this kind of a shooting contest for you guys from here on out? I mean, with all the defensive principles that you preached into this locker room, is this just, hey, guys, we hit our career averages from the three-point line. We're going to be championship.
I think that's simplifying things a little too much. But I think what's important is that both teams have a lot of depth to their shooting. You know, for us, it's not just Steph and Clay. You know, we've got you know, Wiggins and Poole and Porter, and, you know, guys who can very easily have a game where they hit five or six threes. If you look at the games that we played Dallas in the regular season, you know, both teams shot the ball, you know, a lot from the three-point line. So, you know, there will be plenty of three-pointers attempted. And, yes, there's a certain element of truth to, you know, you got to shoot it well to win, but there's a lot that goes into that, you know, and that's our job as coaches. What's the detail that we have to figure out? You know, are we going to make one player in particular, you know, take more threes than another? You know, do we know the spots where guys like to shoot from, and can we discourage them from getting those shots? I mean, and they're doing the same thing on their end as they scout us. So a lot of detail that goes into that, but yeah, the three-pointer will be a huge factor in the series.
At what point did you throw out your notes on the Suns?
Yeah, that was shocking. I mean, you know, two great teams. You know, Phoenix won 64 games for a reason. It was, but, you know, probably halftime. It was like, at halftime, you could say, this is not changing. And how crazy is that, given how good Phoenix was this year and playing at home in a game seven? I mean, nobody could have predicted that.
Do you feel like you've dodged a bullet here? And I'm not trying to give Dallas any bulletin board material at all. Crazy respect for them. But a 64-win team has gone home before the conference finals. That feels significant. Like, I actually thought that the sentence, the Golden State Warriors have returned to the NBA finals, would be an easier truth to tell than the Golden State Warriors will be hosting game one of the Western Conference finals. Like, that's how assured it looked like Phoenix was going to do that.
Well, I mean, you get to this level in the playoffs. Once you get past the first round, generally, you know, you got a bunch of teams that are good enough to win it all. And I felt like Dallas and Phoenix, second half of the season, were two of the best teams we played and were absolutely both championship contenders. So, you know, and their series won seven games. So, I mean, regardless of what happened, we were going to be in a spot where we were going to have to beat somebody really damn good. So that's how I look at it.
How much better or worse is it to just have seven games, or a maximum of seven games, played every other day, where you don't have to worry about a long break here or a long break there?
Yeah, I think where it comes into play is when you go back and forth, you know, when you travel. I like the fact that you don't have 2 days off in one city. You know, that's, nobody likes doing that. You know, we had to sit in Denver for 2 days before game four. It's a strange feeling when you're waiting around in the hotel room. So in this series, it's every other day, which means our travel days will lead right into game day the next day. So that's the biggest difference. You don't have that extra prep day, and you don't have a whole lot of time to rest. And it is a pretty long flight, you know, 3.5 hours or so there and back. So it's like, you know, both teams are going to have to deal with that.
When Draymond asserts himself trying to score, how much does that change things for you guys? Because, God, it feels like it's when Draymond does that, you guys look unbeatable. It's just when he is having a great game, I love the Warriors to win that night. And when he's not, okay, now we got a conversation. But, gosh, when he gets aggressive, it feels like it just opens up. Even missed shots for him pay off.
Yeah, there's a different vibe. You can feel it, you know, when he's aggressive. I love the other night in game six where he launched that three early in the game. And it didn't make it, but it didn't matter. Like, it just set a tone. And I don't know how many shots he took the other night, but he was aggressive. I think he had 14 points. There was just a bounce to his step. He was all over the glass. He was vintage Draymond. And you know, that's the best version, the one who is aggressive and you know, talking trash to the other team and the other team's coach, and you know, knocking down a three and yelling at the world, like that's the guy we love. And you know, we're going to ask him to be very aggressive in this series for sure.
The endless conversations about the number of turnovers you guys commit is only going to get ratcheted up one more time. But how much do you view the difference between a dead ball turnover and a live ball turnover as the thing that actually kills you rather than just the gross number of turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, you'd way rather have the dead ball turnover where you get your defense set up. The live ball turnovers are killers. So there is a pretty big difference. But I just think as you get deeper in the playoffs, the competition gets better. You know, every possession matters. And, you know, we are going to be a relatively high turnover team. We have been for a long time. And as long as it's measured and tempered, then I think we're fine. We've won championships being a high turnover team. But, you know, it can't be obscene. It's got to be reasonable.
Define obscene.
I think you can see that picture for yourself.
And you know it when you see it. Jordan Poole, we're watching a young man go through a trial by fire in real time. And he adjusted to the NBA. The NBA has made an adjustment back to him. And then it gets even amplified more in the postseason. Was just Memphis getting more physical with him, or were they doing other things through the scouting report that you noticed and you can talk to Jordan about? Or is it just simply, this is what playoff basketball is, and when you come back next year, you're going to have rounder shoulders because you're going to put on 8 to 12 pounds of muscle because you know what the beating is like now?
Well, they got more physical. They put Brooks on him a little bit. Brooks is a very physical guard. But I think the series changed quite a bit for Jordan when Steven Adams got into the paint and clogged things up. Before that, Jordan was getting to the rim at will, and it's one of the reasons Memphis made the adjustment that they made, going back to their two big lineup, and obviously they had some success with it, you know, forced us to go back to our two big lineup, and we were able to win the series. But, you know, every series is kind of like this. There's adjustments, and as a team you have to adjust, but as a player you have to adjust too, and Jordan is learning all that as he's going, and it's a great experience.
It's amazing the amount of experience that you guys have collectively in the postseason. I was looking this up today. I really hope Andre Iguodala can join the party again. Should he play again, he'll be appearing in his 35th postseason series. Klay is about to start his 26th. Draymond about to start his 26th. Steph Curry about to start his 25th postseason series. Kevon, 11. Off the top of your head, Steve, do you know how many that you were involved in as a player?
I would guess 25 or so.
30. You'd be the second most postseason experienced Golden State Warrior if you were playing, not coaching, this team.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I'm not playing. I'm glad we got Draymond and Steph playing instead.
But we're certainly glad that Steve Kerr is back in the building. Damon and Ratto here on Warriors Live, wrapping things up. We are brought to you by Xfinity. Better streaming with our Flex 4K device, voice remote, Peacock Premium, all at no extra cost with no strings attached. And what do you know? It's time to tell you what's on tap.
It's time to find out what's on tap.
Plastics.
Presented by Tap Plastics.
Well, it's nice that we were just talking about how important Draymond is, because what's on tap is some big boy defense the rest of the way. Half-court defense, it's now the calling card, Ray, in the playoffs. The Celtics are number one in half-court defense. The Warriors are number two. The Heat are number four. The Mavericks are number eight. The Warriors have the lowest rated half-court offense, though, remaining in the NBA's Final Four. So expect it to grind at times, and the Warriors need to survive that grind tonight, and that's what's on tap. Presented by Tap Plastics, the ultimate destination for do-it-yourself enthusiasts. And it's time now to take it to the bank. And you know what? Instead of picking any one particular player, I'm just going to give you one. This is like, we haven't talked about this at all. This feels like a really good way to go about winning tonight. When Luka's off the floor, play excellent basketball. Right. He's got a massive usage percentage. When he's out there, he is really hard to deal with. When he is off the floor, That means it's time to go when you're the Golden State Warriors. You win those minutes. The defense squeezes that opposing offense in those minutes. That's how you find victory tonight. And that is something you can take to the bank, brought to you by Fremont Bank, turning family-owned businesses into household names.
And that's why I think Dallas is probably going to change its minutes distribution so that Luka's off the floor as little as possible. I see him playing 40 minutes a night.
Easily.
Maybe even more, because the difference between them with him and without him is been evident for 4 years now. So there's no more surprises there. And he's still 23, so work him.
Yeah. With him, they basically have the most efficient offense in the NBA. Without him, it drops to about 20th. So that's a matchup you're looking to exploit. Ray, I know you chose Sacramento in 3 or 9 officially in this series.
Yes.
What do you think's going to happen?
Were I to bet a quid on this, I would bet the under with confidence, because I think these are two teams that are going to defend the hell out of each other. If you're going to make me pick a side, I think I'd take the 5.5 and take Dallas, only because I think this series is going to look a lot like the Memphis series.
Enjoy game one of the Western Conference Finals. Warriors in 6 sounds about right to me. For Ray, I'm Damon. Enjoy the basketball. Coming up next, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
This has been Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!